101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Hi, Billy Ho there, neighboritos. What's going on?
Easy, Flanders.
Now, that's not...
That's all I had to say.
That's not the neighborly thing to say, Mr. Fish. Be nice.
Do I have to?
Yes. Yes, it's Sunday
morning. You
look
so beautiful today.
I feel beautiful. I feel pretty.
I was being nice.
Yeah, thanks. Good Lord. Here we go. It is another edition of the Mark Hoke Show. What? Who? When?
Where?
Oh, my God. I'm firing myself from my own show today. This is...
All right, Vince.
This is the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN. 101.5 FM, 720 AM here in Las Vegas. And, of course, all of you listening around the world on that little internet gizmo thing that they made a few years ago on KDWN.com. We certainly do appreciate it. I'm Mark Hoke, Andrew Fish Fane.
That's me.
What's going on? Other than you ridiculing and mocking me to open the show.
I did not mock.
Yeah, you did.
No, I just missed the guy who you're about to introduce because I didn't talk. He wasn't on the show last week. I haven't talked to him in like 2 weeks. And, you know, I Jones for Joe.
Okay. Well, of course, don't forget, tomorrow night, Andrew Fish Fane will be back on SportsX Radio.
Yay!
Here on KDWN at 8 p.m. Pacific time, along with Chips. Mr. Barnes will be joining him, so we'll check him out. Check them out tomorrow. And, of course, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. We have poked and prodded him, and he is here. Joe, how are you?
Trying to get over that COVID cough.
Yeah.
Just can't stop coughing. You
sounds
know,
like a finishing move.
Anniversary show, so I had to be there at 10 a.m., so I ended up sleeping through and had to spend all day there for a 6 o'clock show, so I was... You know,
ouch.
Incapacitated.
Wow.
That's a hell of a finisher, the COVID cough.
Joe, there you go.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm waiting. Jeez.
Yeah, you do sound a little rough today, buddy.
Could be the last show, you know?
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, Joe, you got at least 2 weeks. Come on. No comment.
Well, we do have a show in a couple weeks. I got to get it. I'm actually going to the Bahamas in a couple weeks. So
nice. Good for you. And of
first
course,
vacation in forever.
Nice. And of course, if you want to follow Joe and check out what he's got going on here in town, go to fswvegas.com. Learn to wrestle. You can, of course, check out all the great cards that Joe had. Joe just had his 13th anniversary show last week. So all sorts of terrific stuff going on with FSW. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling right now. Guys, we've got two pay-per-views.
Premium live events.
One is a pay-per-view.
One is a premium live
event. One is a pay-per-view. One is a premium live event coming up. It is going to be an active week. And, of course, in Las Vegas, Money in the Bank is on Saturday down at the MGM Grand. So I just looked. There are still some tickets available. So even though WWE won't talk to me.
I bet there's a ton of tickets available.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, it's not sold out, but it's not like it's, you know, an empty house or anything like that.
I hear John Laurinaitis can't get a ticket, though.
Yes. John Laurinaitis will not be attending this year's Money in the Bank. As in case you didn't hear, more fallout from the Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis scandal with the legal secretary payout for $3 million. Of course, Vince had already stepped aside.
Can't pass people on anymore, I tell you.
this is what I wanted to talk to you about last week, Joe, because I wanted to get your opinion as a guy in the administrative realm of it as well. What, and I know it's an old story, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but from where you sit in that regard, what do you think is going to be the outcome of this whole thing with Vince McMahon in regard to the company?
you know, I'll be honest, I can't believe, you know, supposedly it was consensual. He paid her off, you know, slap on the wrist. You know, Vince McMahon, you know, unless he's choosing to, I can't believe he's really going to go anywhere. You know, they could reword things and put people and give them different roles. But, you know, Vince is the owner, and that's the bottom line. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's just funny. Stephanie needed her break. She's back. Triple H is back. And it's like, you know, Laurinaitis, you know, he fell on the sword for Vince before. He'll fall on it again. You know, he's one of those lifer guys that keeps getting paid regardless of the crappy job he does. So,
and how important is the role of head of talent relations?
It's a huge role, but you know, it seems like when Jim Ross had the role years ago, you know, he was respected. You know, it's funny. It's usually the opposite because Jim Ross never wrestled. So, you know, a lot of people would complain and bitch about the fact that, well, what does he know? He never wrestled. But John Laurinaitis is a guy who wrestled, and most people feel he got his role in Japan because he was sleeping with Baba's wife. So, and that's what catapulted him into, you know, the top role in Japan. So, it seems like Laurinaitis is one of the least respected guys in that position. I even think he's lower respected than Kevin Dunn amongst talent.
Wow.
He is not popular.
Do we know who is taking over as a new head of talent relations?
Yeah, it's Bruce Pritchard.
Is it really? Talk about out of the frying pan into the fire.
Disgustedly hated by many.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't Vince know anybody else?
I'm surprised he didn't. I mean, not that it would have been answered.
When you need him.
Not that it would have been answered, but I'm surprised he didn't lob a phone call to Jim Ross.
Well, Jim Ross has got an AEW contract. Iron Sheik's available, I heard.
Well, the other side of the story too. If you didn't see it, the Triple H's showed up at NXT and said he's back. They haven't said in what capacity or anything like that. But apparently Triple H is back in. Is Stephanie McMahon kind of backdooring Triple H back into the company and maybe setting things up for a change? I mean, that's a curious move to see him stepping back in.
It's going to be what's going to keep the stockholders at bay, I think, if they feel that move is necessary.
I think that everyone knows that he did such a great job of it before that I think that Joe's right, that just for appearance sake, it looks good to have him there. And as long as his health allows him to do it, I'm all for it.
Well, you know, one thing that I just can't understand is, what if Vince McMahon would have been in a car crash or had a heart attack or something along those lines? It just seems like WWE just had no plan for what happens if something happens to Vince. And I know the man seems invulnerable and is probably going to live till he's 95 years old, but you still should have some sort of
contingency
in place in case something like this goes down. I mean, Vince is doing creative and running the company, and I'm sure that he's still running the company. Let's not have any false pretenses. But I can't believe that WWE doesn't have anything in place if Vince, something would happen to him permanently or even temporarily such as this, or if he got sick. You know, I'm sure Joe, I know your son's working. I'm sure you have a plan if something would happen that you get pulled away, that, hey, you take over, you run this, and you've got it. I mean, I can't imagine that a company like this doesn't have something in place to say, what if? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and I'm sure that there is a plan of succession, but if something tragic had happened to Vince McMahon, like he had gotten in a car accident and was incapacitated, that's different than what's actually happened to him. And I say that because I think they probably had a plan for something that if McMahon couldn't do it, but behind the scenes, McMahon is probably still doing a lot of what he's not allegedly doing by title.
Well, the bottom line is I think Vince McMahon is dead. He blew up in a car crash years ago.
That's right. That's right. He's cloned himself.
Just using, you know, the Vince McMahon. It's kind of like the Whitney Houston tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's the genetic jackhammer.
Do you, you know, I bet he has clone technology. I bet he does. I mean, he clones all his wrestlers. So, oh, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I kind
of there was the clone of Diesel, the clone of Razor Ramon.
No, I mean literal clones. He's got a mold for everybody, and they're all the same. So, anyway,
I think it's just for, you know, Nick Khan is a guy that they seem to, you know, have in place to run the company, but I think it's, since it's a corporate company anyway, then, you know, there's a structure of how things go, but as wrestling fans, nobody wants to look at it that way. They just want to look at it. Vince McMahon's running it. Well, you know, Vince McMahon's not really running the day-to-day business. He's running the creative. The business is in check. You know, Stephanie's got, you know, her role. Everybody's got roles. And I think the bottom line is, if Vince is gone for a while, just like with Triple H being gone, the engine just keeps going. The train just keeps rolling. And, you know, again, it's kind of like when UFC sold, you know. If Vince McMahon could get another, you know, $800 million or $2 billion and still run it like Dana White, you know, how has the UFC gone different, even though, you know, the Fertittas don't own it anymore?
Yeah, and one thing, one of the development that came up on this story, too, is there are now 7 law firms that are investigating what's going on at WWE. From Cultaholic, 2 more law firms announced they're investigating WWE. Those 2 firms are looking into whether WWE directors and officers breached their fiduciary duties. The other 5 are investigating possible breaches of security laws. Boy, this could get really nasty if this digging finds some things.
For money.
Yeah, I mean, Vince has more money than God right now, but boy, this is going to be fun. So we'll see what happens and what changes are going to take place in WWE, if any, as this whole thing rolls on.
And it's hard to believe that this is really the back burner story because, you know, tonight's one of the it's not as big as the All Out pay-per-view or the Double or Nothing pay-per-view that started AEW, but this Forbidden Door pay-per-view, I think, is absolutely huge for what the avenues it can open.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN. Andrew Fishfein, Joe DeFalco, and myself, Mark Hoke, bringing you the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM. And, of course, that is tonight, the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming out of the United Center. Sold out pretty quick. And if you don't know what this pay-per-view is all about, we have AEW in a joint show with New Japan Pro Wrestling. It is going to be an interesting night. And before we get into the card, you mentioned about what this means to pro wrestling. And, of course, the Forbidden Door is there because New Japan never would work with anybody. It's been the Forbidden Door. You don't go through that. You don't cross over with anybody. And AEW was putting the feelers out and built this up and then got together with New Japan and has put together this joint card where we're going to see, you know, really to me for the first time, you know, I mean, Ring of Honor did have their show with New Japan a few years ago that sold out Madison Square Garden. But in terms of having a major, major promotion working with New Japan, this is going to be a pretty special night. And pulling off something like this is very difficult. Hasn't been done. It's been plagued, unfortunately, with a lot of injuries and people getting knocked out of this thing for various reasons. But what does this mean to pro wrestling if this card goes off well tonight, which I think it will? I can't imagine it won't. What does this mean? Fish, what do you think? Your thoughts?
I think it could mark the starting point of something huge, but it also depends on if this is, I don't want to say a one-off, but if New Japan is only going to work with the AEW, then it's not nearly as big. But if that means New Japan says, you know what, now we'll work with Impact, or now we'll work with WWE if you know they would open their doors, and other companies go, you know what, if Lucha Libre says, hey, we should work with so and so, and then if it opens the door worldwide for everybody, then it's absolutely massive, and it will change the way wrestling is done.
Joe, you've done cards with different promotions. You know, what are your thoughts on is this something that's going to be a major achievement or just something that's going to go by the boards?
Maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't really see the hype behind it. It's like, I don't perceive it as a big deal. I think the hardcore wrestling fans are excited about it, and they sell out just like AEW generally does on their few big cards that they have. But I just don't see the universal hype around it. I don't think it's any different than when Ring of Honor did the show, because they positioned it well. They did it WrestleMania weekend. They did it at Madison Square Garden. It sold out immediately. They had great Muda on the show. You know, they had all their top guys. So, you know, what they're doing there is no different than with Ring of Honor. And, yeah, I get it. AEW is a bigger company than Ring of Honor, but it's been there and done that. And, you know, after everything was said and done, everybody just went on to their own business and did their thing. And Impact is a company that's been open to work with everybody. You know, Forbidden Door, Mickey James worked Impact. You know, how did it change anything? It did it. It's just wrestling. And I don't think that it's going to change anything. I just think it's new matches that people want to see. But as great as a guy like Okada is, I don't see anybody being, oh my God, what a four-way, Jay White, Okada, Adam Cole. It's just like, okay, it's another cool match that AEW is putting on to the people who love AEW. So I don't know. I don't really see the excitement. You know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook all the time, whatever. I don't see people clamoring to be like, oh man, I got to buy this pay-per-view. And then basically all the guys that people did want to see wrestle each other are getting hurt anyway, and they're not even getting the matches they want.
Yeah, that's going to be the one thing that will, I don't want to say devastate this, but will absolutely knock it down a peg is the injuries. But, you know, and I know we talked about it before, because I know that going in, you already have an idea. The company that has the lead, AEW, already has an idea of who they want from their company to win and who they want to put over for New Japan. I just kind of wonder during the day-to-day how much is, like, deal-making is going on. Like, okay, we'll let him go over, but you have to, you know, have this guy lose or however it goes. That, to me, that's the more interesting part, is how the deals they're making.
Well, and I think...
Well, what's crazy to me is that the reason Danielson probably signed with AEW was the opportunity to work Japan or work AEW, and then he ends up getting hurt and can't even work the show.
Yeah, he's got to be absolutely heartbroken. You know, that's very true. He wanted to be working with New Japan, and
he would have AEW just stayed in WWE if he knew that opportunity wasn't going to come, because he knew he would have been a lifer who was getting paid tons of money. And he wanted the option of going there to be able to wrestle great matches instead of just being a sports entertainer. And for him, that was a big deal. You know, it seems like the rumor is it might be Cesaro taking that spot.
That's what we're hearing. If you don't know about this card tonight, it really did get devastated by injuries and contract disputes and things like that. It's been a little bit of a mess.
Which contract disputes?
Well, the situation with Andrade.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because of
he's not happy about that.
No, because of the situation with CMLL.
Would anybody have really gotten excited to see him against Ospreay? I didn't know that was a match anybody was, like, thrilled about.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But, you know, it was just another guy that got knocked out of this whole thing, because obviously CM Punk...
Right. So we're talking Forbidden Door, but it ain't a Forbidden Door, because New Japan has a deal with CMLL, so they had to pull all the AAA guys.
Yeah, so all those guys are out, like Ray Phoenix and Pentagon, all those guys
got
pulled
off. They're not AAA guys, they're AEW guys.
Right.
Just because they work for CMLL, you know, again, the politics is crazy, especially... That's the biggest deal, is the politics of these two major companies, because New Japan does not look at AEW as its superior.
No, I'm sure they don't. And the thing that I'm really curious about once this is over is how much this is going to help New Japan in the United States, because they have been promoting cards out on the West Coast and doing really well. You know, they had a little bit of TV exposure over here. Not a whole lot. Of course, Jim Ross was doing a lot of work with them. Kevin Kelly's one of their main commentators now. But how much inroads will be made with this. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on how well everybody performs tonight, because we do have some big names on here. You know, Okada, Tanahashi. And, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see. And certainly these guys got to be hyped up, because, you know, if you're New Japan, you got to be thinking, man, we could be opening. If we do well tonight, we're opening up a whole new market to ourselves. And I think AEW is thinking the same thing, too, that we can get ourselves expanded into Japan a little bit, because, you know, they're already working on going to Europe and going to Canada and expanding their brand. So this could have some major implications once it's over, if things go well. Your thoughts, Fish?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think there's more to gain than there is to lose here. Because I think if things go horribly, they don't lose anything from it. People aren't not going to watch AEW anymore because of it. And, you know, I don't know how big a following New Japan's going to have in the States anyway. The inroads they would make, I don't think, could be that huge if it's bad. If it's great, I think that could really open things up for people here to want to watch more New Japan. So I think there's a hell of a lot more upside than there is downside in the event tonight.
Yeah, so
that's one thing I will agree with. The West Coast New Japan shows, they're used in basically indie guys that I would use. So whether it's the 1% and Tom Lawler and all those guys, it's the West Coast version is really a watered down version of New Japan. So if they can get new faces to watch, and you know, let's see what happens. You know, Jeff Cobb's a big deal in Japan, but he isn't as big a deal in the United States. Why? I don't know. Maybe he hasn't had that exposure. You know, he did well in Impact. They brought him in AEW for a couple of spots, and that's been about it. You know, the talent's definitely there. Doing the show, nothing wrong with it. It's going to be a good show. You know, if you like wrestling, you should love the show. Now, the bigger question is, does it help anything down the road? Well, as Fish said, it can't hurt anything. But, you know, if they're looking for, like, this big resurgence because of it, that's the one thing I just don't see happening.
Well, and we've only got a couple minutes here before we hit commercial. But the question that I'm really curious about is, of course, we have the AEW Interim World Championship tonight. And Punk was obviously going to go over on Tanahashi. There was no question about that would happen. They're not going to take the belt off Punk. But do you think that there's a possibility, because of Moxley being in the match instead of Punk, that Tanahashi, they take the chance and roll the dice to keep this thing going, get more Japanese fans, that Tanahashi wins this match tonight?
No. I don't think there's a chance in hell, because you can't, and WWE is proving this, you can't have a champion that's not there all the time. And if Tanahashi's a champion, he's not going to be in the States all the time.
But according to the way the schedule is working out, especially with the G1, he's going to be available. They can use him
they won't use him like a champion should be used. And like I said, WWE is finding out without Reigns being available how the ratings are dropping.
Fish or Joe, what do you think about that? Could they put Tanahashi on?
I think they could. You know, it's like, you know, well, you can't really use those guys. Well, how many times has Suzuki been on AEW when you don't think he's going to be on AEW? You know, they could use these guys. You know, it's easy to hop on a flight. And, you know, again, a guy like Punk is like a guy like Danielson. You know, if Punk wants to wrestle, why does he want to wrestle Moxley? No, he probably wants to wrestle Tanahashi.
Right.
So, yeah, let's put the belt on him. He could defend it a few times in Japan even. So it expands the brand.
All right. And Joe, I hate to cut you off, but we do have to get ready to go to break here. So we'll maybe hit a little bit more of this card when we come back, plus Money in the Bank. The card's shaping up.
Oh, boy.
For better or worse.
Worse.
Oh my God, the cynicism in the room. Boy, you got to stick around.
You got a match.
Oh, you got to stick around and hear what these guys are going to say about Money in the Bank. It's going to be something else. The Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN. Thanks for joining us here. We will be back in just a little bit. Stay tuned for more from the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here in Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, and visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at MarkHokeShow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
All right, yeah! Let's get ready to do The Mark Hoke Show!
All right.
See, that way I don't get busted by one of the buffer boys.
Yes, we have to avoid that. They're tough on that, by the way.
Very.
You know that.
You know, if I would have just said it, I would have, like, 5 minutes later, I would get a text on my phone to cease and desist.
If you just said that, I'd be like, he's paying the fine. I'm not.
Yeah.
Or he's paying the copyright fee. Andrew Fishfane, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. And I'm Mark Hoke.
What I hope to be one day.
Well, why don't you go to Joe's school?
Because I'm too old.
Joe, he can do something at your school, right?
Sweep up.
Yeah, you know, managers. You know, guy his age, he's right in perfect age for manager.
Yeah, I could be the next Harvey Whippleman.
You can take a bump down there.
You could.
Yeah, you're bigger than Harvey, though. I think.
I could be the next Slick.
Need a good manager to go through a door.
Hey, count me in.
Especially
on that.
Especially that door is forbidden. Oh, whoa, see, I got us right back on track.
Nice. All right, well, back to Forbidden Door real quick, just to kind of wrap up our thoughts on that that show coming up tonight. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of great matches. I don't think there's any question about it. I think what I'm excited to see tonight, I'm looking forward to seeing Okada on, you know, first true American pay-per-view. And that should be a great match with Cole Page and Jay White this evening, I would expect. Will Ospreay, even though I'm not that excited about the opponent, Will did wrestle on TV a little bit, but if you haven't seen Will Ospreay, he is an incredible, incredible wrestler. Same thing with Zack Sabre Jr. And, of course, the big question is, who is he wrestling tonight? There have been a few rumors. Cesaro has been the main one. I've heard a couple other names, but I'll lean towards Cesaro being.
What other names?
Who was the other one? And I'm blanking on it. That's terrible.
I heard new names popped up. Bo Dallas.
Are you being serious, Joe?
I would be excited if Bo Dallas was there.
Yeah, Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh. He's busy. He's producing now.
Skip Sheffield.
Oh, stop it. Yep.
I'm more curious as to how the finishes are going to go down, because a lot of times people feel they need to protect everything. And I remember talking with the Godfather years ago. It's like, a loss is a loss. Nobody's going to care. If you're going to lose to somebody, just put them over, because you're losing anyway. So what's the difference? Make the guy look good.
No, but, I agree. And you're right. That is going to be interesting, because win or lose on either side, they are going to want to protect some of their finishing moves as well. And at the same time, because you don't get a lot of the AEW fans may not get a chance to see a lot of the New Japan wrestlers, they may not get a chance to see the finishers that they want to see. So I think everything's going to be on display. But you got a question is, how do you protect not only the finishing move, but the wrestler?
Right, and it depends on, you know, the match. Like, nobody in their right mind thinks Orange Cassidy is going to win the match. So, you know, the other dude's going to go over strong. But it's like in the four-way, it doesn't matter who. If you're not taking the belt off Jay White, you're probably not going to have Okada take the pin. An AEW guy's going to take the pin, you know. And in the other situations where it's kind of like you look at it as a toss-up, or it's a main Japanese guy or whatever, it's like I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of protected finishes in the match to be like, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying interference, just a way to make it, you know, be where these guys can act like, well, you know, it could have went either way, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's such an important thing. It's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, so it'll be intriguing to see how all this plays out tonight. But one thing I would tell everybody is, I recommend watching this just because of the opportunity to get to see some of these Japanese wrestlers go at it, because there's a lot of great talent on this card.
And if it is, if it is Cesaro, I know he's not obviously a Japanese wrestler, but I think it would be great to see him back in the ring and fighting for a company like AEW.
Absolutely. So we'll see how that turns out, but I think it's going to be a fun night. And you know, and then and of course, one match I'm really curious about too is the Thunder Rosa Tony Storm match. Probably the only match that didn't get messed up in this whole thing. But is the reign of Thunder Rosa going to end tonight?
I don't think so, because I think now they're looking down the line and thinking, we can do Thunder Rosa Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Do you think they're really jumping? They had a chance to get Tessa Blanchard and they didn't. Why would they go after somebody else who's, you know, caused tons of issues?
Because
it wasn't one time.
Because
Tessa Blanchard's available too. So
I know, but as good as Tessa is, and I know she's broken glass ceilings. Obviously, she won the heavyweight championship at Impact. But Sasha is a much bigger name than Tessa Blanchard, and that's why.
See, I would lean towards Paige getting
again. It seems like I don't know. No rhyme, no reason. They've stayed away from guys like a Braun Strowman and things like that. So. Who knows?
Well, like I said, I would lean towards getting Paige more than I would getting Sasha Banks if I were.
I just want to see if Thunder Rosa is going to sell anything.
Oh, she did get accused of sandbagging that a match on TV a little while ago. So we'll see how that goes. But of course, we've got to also mention that the WWE has, you know, a pretty big event coming up here.
Do they consider this the fifth big pay per view?
I don't know. They tried. But
not after they had to go scale down because nobody was coming.
And now I hear it's in Vince McMahon's backyard.
Well, they already did it.
They can rent my backyard.
They already did it in Titan Tower during the pandemic.
Yes, they did.
Of course, Money in the Bank is coming up here. And before we talk about that card, too, I guess we ought to mention maybe a couple things that happened on WWE programming this week. And after getting nearly 3 million viewers tuning in for the Roman Reigns Riddle match, he gets buried in a Money in the Bank qualifying match on Monday.
Which made no sense to me.
And I just sat there like, what are you doing? You're killing off one of your new hot properties by feeding him to Omos and saying, see you later. I could not believe that on Monday night. I was shocked.
And then on SmackDown, you have the unbeatable, undefeated, you know, tag team champions of the world losing.
That was surprising too. And I it's a WWE creative issue where it just seems like they're throwing stuff at the wall every couple of weeks, seeing what sticks. I can't imagine that they had that planned. That okay, we're gonna take the Sheamus McIntyre road down this route. I mean, it was just strange. I mean, it's a nice win for those guys.
Yeah,
would I like to see the match again? Absolutely.
Yeah, but for the Usos' only loss in this whole reign to be to McIntyre and Sheamus makes no sense.
Plus, they're not wrestling them at Money in the Bank. They're wrestling the Street Profits.
Exactly.
So what was the point of giving them a loss like that? And yeah, the Street Profits were at ringside and
that was a nice bump by Zayn, too.
Sammy's awesome.
Yeah. I'm glad he's in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. And I had mentioned last night when I was talking to Brad when we did the show on Saturday was, you know, I've been really impressed with Natty and what she's doing with this run against Ronda Rousey. I know she's not going to win, but I'd love to see it. And I hate to do the thing where I think somebody deserves it, but I think she deserves it. I really do.
I get that.
And the point that I made last night was I think it would be good for Ronda to be working with Natty. Because Ronda just has some rough edges she needs cleaned up. And getting into a program with Natty may give her that chance to have a veteran presence that she can respect and they can work together and help elevate her a little bit in terms of what she's doing promos and in the ring. That's all. You know, I think it would be a fun feud.
Yeah, it can't hurt Ronda to have a feud with Natty.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but we'll find out.
But it's not going to change the way Rousey comes out. She's arrogant. She thinks, you know, she's better than everybody anyway. So, you know, she does crappy promo after crappy promo. I've never seen a person get a microphone more that's done crappy promos than Ronda Rousey. It's crazy.
And I agree with that. And that's why I'm saying that I think maybe working with Natty could help her out with that. Just, you know, I thought it was kind of fun. I've never seen a baby stroller in the ring before. That did happen on SmackDown on Friday.
Yes, it did.
Wouldn't they do that with Kane and Lita?
Was there a baby stroller involved in that? I don't remember that.
I don't know.
Wasn't there one with Mark Henry and Mae Young?
No, that was just a large plastic hand.
And, I know.
And a gurney. And a guy, an OBGYN.
The hand's all grown up now. He showed up at the Johnny Knoxville match, so.
Yes, he did.
Oh, dear God. The rabbit hole you can go down in professional wrestling. And, of course, this is the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN 101.5 FM 720 AM. Joe DeFalco, Andrew Fishfiend, Mark Hoke.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and I know that you and I talked about this, Mark, just briefly, was that it just came down the pike that there's a new copyright been filed, and the copyright is the Wyatt Six, and it's been copyrighted by Bray. But that, to me, would say that he's coming back to WWE because Bray Wyatt is a WWE intellectual property. So if it was going to be him on his own or him going somewhere else, it would be the Wyndham Six or the Rotunda Six. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is interesting that he did that. Boy, you know, I don't know.
Everybody does their takeoff of the names. I heard Cesaro's is CSRO.
Right.
So, you know, and Strowman did his thing, and everybody does their little thing to try to keep the notoriety of their name because that's their popularity. You know, despite what everybody says, it is true. You know, you get to be where you are because WWE invested in you. You know, if, you know, you're Wyndham Rotunda, you know, it takes a while for people to be like, oh, yeah, that's Bray Wyatt. Like, you know, it worked good with Moxley, though.
Yeah, so you don't think that it has any meaning at all that he copyrighted Wyatt Six?
No, because if he does go elsewhere, he wants to use some form of the name. And if he stays, well, he's going to still be Bray Wyatt, and he could use that as a takeoff of it. So I don't think that copyright is like, I know what he's going to do now. I think it can be utilized both ways. So, you know, and to be honest with you, you would think after a year, like, I lean toward him not going back to WWE. Why wouldn't he have gone back sooner? It's the same thing with Strowman. You know, we kept thinking he was coming back. But, you know, now he's doing his control your narrative in little warehouses. So
no, I know. But the thought to me is that WWE sees their ratings struggling. Bray Wyatt was a very, very popular character, especially when he became The Fiend. I mean, he went through the roof. He was selling merchandise like no other at that point. So now that they're...
But why'd they release him then?
I still don't know why they released him. That is still mind-boggling.
There's a lot of love-hate rumors between him and Vince. A lot of stories that I've read and said that Vince just loved him, but those guys butted heads constantly over creative stuff. And you know, the other thing is, too, with the Wyatt Six name is if they wanted to use that in WWE, why didn't WWE pass that, you know, file for that trademark? So,
You know, WWE is going to own any copyright of anything new like The Fiend. Yes. It isn't going to be Bray Wyatt's decision. That's why I think it's, you know, a name he would use elsewhere.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe he'll show up tonight and wrestle Will Ospreay.
You never know.
God, I couldn't. That would get some attention. Well, let's talk Money in the Bank here real quick. Right now we have six matches on the card. One of those is Ronda Rousey defending the SmackDown title against Natty. I think we kind of already talked about that. But and do you guys think there's any chance Natty wins this match tonight? No? Joe?
I hope not.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you're not a Natty fan. I keep forgetting that.
I used to like her a lot, but you know, when you get buried so often, there comes a point where you know you don't see that person as a top star, and she's that person now.
I was gonna say, it's like Tamina, who at one point looked like she could have been something, but now is absolutely nothing and got buried. She lost to Shotzi, for crying out loud.
And I think where they really went wrong with, you know, the women's tag team titles, which, you know, are probably going to go by the boards, I would imagine. But when Natty was teaming with Tamina and they won the titles, a lot of people really liked that team, and it was a legacy team, obviously, with the daughter of Jim Neidhart, the daughter of Jimmy Snuka. Tamina gets her first title in WWE after all this time. That was a good pairing, and WWE just...
Well, if they were going to keep the titles, they should never have gotten rid of the Iconics.
You know, you could see Tamina's downfall. Rock had to buy her a house. She couldn't even afford to buy her own house.
Now, that is true. But that was a nice gesture on The Rock's part, by the way.
That's who The Rock is.
We've got the Usos defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship against the Street Profits. Man, I love the Street Profits, but this is just another match. They've done this before. I'm not excited about this match at all, and I'm sure the Usos are going to win, but I could care less. But, I mean, this is another one. I mean, would you guys agree there's no way the Usos lose?
No. I think that this one, they could throw the swerve on there. It depends on where they want to go with the bloodline now.
Okay, Joe?
I don't really think they will, but yeah, I probably think they should. It gets stale up top, you know. Now you can run into, oh, they lost two matches in a row. What's wrong with the Usos? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, if you go in there, you know, title changes are like the biggest deal. That regardless of who wins the title, you know, it gives people excitement. It's like, you know, even with the Young Bucks, look at AEW. You know, they change the belts just because it makes it fresh. And unfortunately, WWE, they've put a couple of teams on the pedestal, and the Usos are that one. But, you know, there has to be conflict. If you're trying to make the Street Profits a credible team, you know, how many times can they lose?
Agreed. And they've made a lot of people mid-carders that shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
You know, and obviously with this situation where they just had Sheamus and Drew McIntyre win, I mean, that would be a fun team to watch for a while. I would enjoy that. I guess we'll find out. Bianca Belair, of course, she was supposed to be wrestling Rhea Ripley from Judgment Day, but Rhea Ripley has some sort of brain injury. Guess she got concussed, and now it looks like we've got Carmella, who won her way into this match. And, guys, if you could see the face of Andrew Fish Fane right now, it was that I don't, you look like someone who didn't get what they wanted at Christmas.
It's just Carmella is, there's just nothing there. That, you know, yeah, she's married to Corey Graves. Great. She's pretty great. But she has no business fighting for the championship. None.
Well, she did win that Fatal 5-Way.
She had no business winning that.
Well, you know, I'm not debating.
You should say she had no business being in it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, so no one's excited about this one, and Bianca may be getting a quick night here.
I think so.
Might have a 19-second win.
Maybe. Theory.
Maybe Bayley comes back.
That would be all right. Theory and Bobby Lashley for the U.S. title. Of course, we've been seeing a lot of baby oil flying around on this one. I don't know.
To me, this is interesting because of the rumor that Cena is coming back to work a program with Theory. You can't really have Theory beat Lashley, because if you do, that just destroys Lashley, and because that should never happen. So I don't know what they do here.
I don't understand why this got booked either. I really don't. Why would you put Lashley in this position? But boy, they love to do this to Bobby, don't they? I mean, this is just sad.
You can also look at it as, well, Theory wrestles Cena. They don't need to have a belt if Theory's going over on Cena. So now they could put the belt on Lashley.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see Bobby Lashley win this match, but to be quite frank, I'd rather see Bobby Lashley wrestling Roman Reigns. I think that would be a lot of fun.
To me, it's a drop down. It's kind of like when, you know, you put Drew McIntyre in a tag team title situation. Like, here's a guy who should be wrestling for the heavyweight championship.
Right, and Lashley
isn't right now, but you know, that's just a theory on those things. It's like Bobby Lashley. It seems like, okay, this guy was a credible heavyweight champion. making him the U.S. champ.
Right. We talk about not being that many credible contenders for the heavyweight championship. Not many people that we believe could actually beat Roman Reigns. Lashley is one of those guys. You have to put him in a position where he can fight for that, not being in a mid-card championship.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens on that one as well. Then we have the Money in the Bank matches. We still don't know who all is in these matches, which is really sad, to be honest with you.
Considering it's a week away, you know, you're absolutely right.
We've got the...
I know one guy who's in it. The guy who ain't going to win is him. He's Zayn.
Could you imagine if Zayn did win that briefcase?
That would be insane.
Let's talk about the women first. It's Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, and to be determined, maybe this is the night Bayley comes back.
TBD? TBD is going to be there. That's my tag team champion.
Yeah, there you go. That is legit, by the way, on Joe DeFalco's part.
Yes.
Do you like one of these six, or do you think TBD is the winner of the Women's Money in the Bank match? Fish?
I would personally think that Asuka should be the favorite, but the way that it seems they want to book Lacey Evans, I like Lacey Evans.
Joe, who do you like on this one?
Sasha Banks. I think she's going to come back.
Naomi and the Bloodline would be an interesting little move.
Yeah, they got to do something. I mean, Naomi hasn't been reinstated, though, has she? She hasn't been fired, but she hasn't been reinstated.
She's still in limbo. But, boy, you would
if
get
If anyone could do the limbo, it's her.
That is a great point. But, boy, if you had her walk down to the ring with the Usos in the Money in the Bank match, yikes. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm thinking in a creative fashion as opposed to WWE creative. But
which is an oxymoron.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to reward somebody who walked out.
No, but I think Lacey Evans is my choice to win it.
All right.
Unless Bayley comes back.
I think of the participants, I would go with Raquel Rodriguez. But if Bayley is a possibility... I would certainly. Would
well,
like to see
WWE
her.
Loves those moments, so that's the perfect spot for Bayley to come back. And you know, if she comes back, she ain't losing. Just like when I said, hey, if Ronda Rousey shows up at WrestleMania, she ain't losing.
Yep. Men's match is.
Should have had the 40-1. Should have had the 40-1 on that one.
The men's match is Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Omos, Sami Zayn, and two TBDs. Two of them. So we still have no idea, which makes this absolutely impossible to predict who's going to win this match. But once again, do you like
almost can almost climb a ladder?
I don't know. Does he have to? He's like two steps and he's there.
I think just based on the schedule that WWE has coming up, I think Drew McIntyre wins so he can challenge at the Clash of the Castle.
Joe, what do you think about that? Is it a TBD or one of these five win?
Well, they're starting to... Drew McIntyre is starting to become Sheamus, where he's going to become irrelevant. And if they don't do something soon with Drew, he's just going to fall back into the... You know, fall back to the rest of the crowd. And, you know, like they almost did with Lashley for a little while. It's like Lashley and Drew should be the two main guys that are going after any title. So, you know, I think Brock Lesnar is going to show up as Drew's about to grab the case, and he's going to be in the match for 3 seconds, and he's going to win.
And Jericho's going to tweet again.
Oh, let's not do that again, for the love of God. I'll be honest with you. Out of those
Lesnar
five.
Lesnar already has a match, right?
Who knows? But out of those five.
He's got the match with Reigns at SummerSlam.
At SummerSlam, yeah. Out of those five, honestly, I think I'd give it to Seth Rollins if I had to pick one. I'd love to have Seth Rollins running around torturing everybody for months. I think that'd be all right. So,
and then Cody Rhodes comes back and beats him again. Cool.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of possibilities. Most of them not good.
And you know whose fault that is? It's WWE's own fault.
Yep. So, well, it should be an exciting night, though, here in Las Vegas. And
it's always an exciting night in Vegas.
Yeah. So maybe I'll Uber one of them. I'll just hang out down by the arena after it's over. It'll be fun. But we are just about ready to wrap this thing up. So I want to remind everybody.
Is Moxley going to be the champ tonight at the end of the night?
I say no. I'm passing the belt to New Japan. That's just me, but I think it's going to happen. All right.
It continues the forbidden door if somebody else wins.
Yep. All right. So don't forget, guys, if you want to follow the show, at Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, markhokeshow.podbean.com, and all your favorite podcast outlets to catch those old shows. Of course, you can catch Fish at the Fish 1969 on Twitter and follow Joe at FSW Vegas.
Acknowledge us.
Yes, we are acknowledgeable. That is for sure. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hey, we will see you next week here on KDWN. You guys have a terrific day, and we'll see you at Forbidden Door. I'm going down to New Orleans to check it out, so maybe I'll see you there. Have a great day, everybody.